I'll be reading from Ezra chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, and reading from the New King James translation of the Bible. I thought it might be good to put a little of what I'm going to read in context. The Jews had returned to Palestine from captivity under Nebuchadnezzar's regime, and when Cyrus came into power, he let the Jews go back to their homeland. The homeland that they found when they returned was far different from the one that many of those people remembered. And so one of the biggest things that was different was the temple was gone. The beautiful Solomon's temple had been, of course, destroyed, and the sieges that had preceded. So this is a fairly emotional account of what happened, and I'll begin reading here with verse 10. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. For he is good, for his mercy endures toward Israel forever. Then all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites, and heads of the fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this temple was laid before their eyes. Yet many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard afar off.
Well, I imagine that we're all experiencing a variety of emotions this morning. There might be some of you that are feeling really happy, and you're just so happy to be here. You're happy to be in this room. You're happy to smell the smell of this building. You're happy to hear the songs, even if it's a smaller group. You're just happy, and this is great, and this is wonderful. And there's probably a few of us who are a little bit fearful. We're wondering whether you actually should be here. That maybe we know that this is the right thing to do, to come together, but you're wondering, if we come together, is this going to mean that I'm going to get the virus, or you're going to get the virus, or there's going to be an outbreak in our church? And so you're a little bit afraid this morning. Then there's still others of us, I bet, who are feeling a little bit annoyed and irritated because we've got to wear a mask. We got to sit 6 feet apart, and the auditorium's roped off, and you don't like that. Maybe to you think it's even a little bit silly, and so you're just a little bit irritated this morning. And then still there might be others of us who are a little bit sad, because we sit here and we remember back to February and how this building was full, and it's not full. Or maybe you're watching online and you're a little bit sad because you want to be here, but maybe because of health risk or because you didn't get a reservation, you're unable to be here. And so you're sad. We're really kind of a bundle of emotions this morning. The elder in the early service cried. And maybe we all don't know exactly what to feel. As this quote says, you know how you feel when you don't know how you feel. That's how I feel. Maybe that's you this morning. Not sure if you should be sad or happy or mad or angry. We've been through a lot as a church over the past 7 months. It's been a journey. And how do we process all of the emotions that we're feeling right now? Well, thankfully, this isn't the first time that the people of God have been scattered and then had to do the hard process of trying to rebuild and regather. In fact, that was precisely what was happening in Ezra chapter 3. That it started 70 years earlier, when the Babylonian Empire came and took the Israelite exiles into exile, and they were forced to be scattered, and they lived in Babylon in this strange land among strange people who worshiped strange gods. But then God moved in the heart of Cyrus, the king of Babylon, and allowed the people to come back to Jerusalem to rebuild their temple. And so a group took that journey, led by a man named Zerubbabel, and they started to make that trek back to Jerusalem. And when they got there, they settled back into their homes and into their towns. And then about the seventh month, how many months has it been since we worshiped? The seventh month. They said, we've got to start regathering. We've got to come together. But they had two big issues that they were dealing with. Number one, they were dealing with the issue of fear. They were afraid. The neighbors around them had seen them come back and move back, and they're wondering, who are these people? Why have they come back? And what's going on here? What are they wanting to build? And I wonder if some of those exiles wondered if their neighbors were going to attack them for being back. So they were afraid, it says, beginning of Ezra 3. And then number two, they had this issue of rubble, what I would call rubble. As David mentioned, when the Babylonians came and took them off into exile, they destroyed everything. The temple was razed, their homes were burned, the leaders were captured, everything was destroyed. And so when they came back home to Jerusalem, there was not one stone on top of another. It was just rubble. They were starting back at square one. And whenever you have to start back at square one, it is incredibly demoralizing. And so what do you do when you're afraid and when you're demoralized? Well, you worship. That's what the exiles realized they needed to do. We've got to worship. We've got to come together and we've got to worship. And so they built an altar just like their father Abraham did. And they began to offer sacrifices on that altar. They started doing the morning sacrifices and the evening sacrifices. Then they observed the Festival of the Tabernacles, which was the festival, the feast, to commemorate their time in the wilderness, because that's where they felt like they were. They felt like they were in a wilderness. They observed the new moon offerings as well. They just started to re-engage that regular rhythm of worship. And then they realized, now we've got to rebuild the temple. And so they commissioned the masons and the carpenters and the craftsmen and the artisans to be about this task of rebuilding the house of the Lord. They, just like Solomon, they called for cedars from Lebanon to come be brought so they could use that in the building of the temple. They tasked the Levites with the responsibility of overseeing the whole construction project, because there's no greater construction manager than a worship leader. Isn't that right, Joe? That's Joe's responsibility. And after days and weeks and months of them working at it, eventually they got to the place where they had laid a foundation. They had cleared the land. They had dug the holes. They had a foundation built. So they said, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate that we got a foundation, because now we're back. But they weren't really back. They weren't really back. They were back in Jerusalem, but Jerusalem was much different than when they left it. They had laid a foundation to the temple, but it was much different and less glorious than the one that Solomon built. And yeah, there was a group of people there, but that group of people was much fewer than the group that entered the land of Canaan many years before. They weren't really back. And so as they gathered, some were happy, and some were sad, and some didn't know what to think. And as I think about our journey over the past 7 months, I can really identify with those returning exiles, can't you? It was about the middle of March when all the dominoes started to fall, and sporting events were canceled, and public events were called off, and our worship services stopped. And we were forced into exile, forced into having to worship by looking at a screen, forced to are left to our own digital devices to try to stay together through Zoom and through Facebook Live videos and through Southside shares and through phone calls. And it's been hard. It's been real hard. And now in our seventh month, we realize we got to regather. We got to rebuild. But we're dealing with the same two issues. We're dealing with that issue of fear, of what happens if we come together and what if someone gets sick? What if the virus spread? What if people don't follow the protocols that we've set out? What's going to happen? What if someone gets left behind? We're afraid. And then at the same time, we're dealing with the second issue of rubble. Like literally in our building, there is rubble. You can't see it. It's behind these two doors. But bigger than that, we're dealing with spiritual rubble. There's some of us this morning, maybe watching or here today, that, and we've fallen away from the Lord. And it's almost like we're back at square one. And whenever you're back at square one, you are demoralized. There's some of you that are demoralized this morning. And so what do you do when you're afraid and you're demoralized? You worship. Worship. You got to try. That's what we're doing this morning. We're trying. We're trying to worship. We're trying in person to worship. So the elders came up with this plan. They said, here's going to be our plan. And they commissioned the ministers and the deacons and other leaders to let's figure out this plan. And so for the past days and weeks and months, we've been talking about this plan. We've talked about everything. You think about it, we've talked about it. We've talked about masks. We've talked about sanitizing stations. We've talked about how to do communion. We've talked about how to give. We've talked about reservation systems. We've talked about organization. We've talked about roping off the building. We've talked about it all. And finally, the day is here. We've laid the foundation. It's October 18th. And so we want to celebrate because we're back. We're not really back. Y'all wearing masks. We're not really back. This auditorium is roped off. We're not really back. It's much fewer of you than what I remembered. We're not really back. And so this morning, some of us are happy. Some of us are sad. Some of us don't know what to think or feel. Somehow, and in some way, in Ezra chapter 3, despite those exiles' fear, and despite their rubble, they found a way to find renewal that day. And how did they do that? Well, you can take the two books of Ezra and Nehemiah, and you can put them together, and you can sum them up in one big question. This is what these two books are all about. They're about this question: how does a broken people move forward? How do you take people who have been demoralized and move them forward? And those returning exiles, they were able to move forward because they had three things. Number one, they had a story. They understood that we're descendants of Father Abraham. We had a king whose name was David. We used to worship in a temple that was built by Solomon. We are the chosen people of God. God brought us out of Egypt, and he led us through the Red Sea, and he brought us to Mount Sinai, and he gave us a covenant, and he took us to the land of Canaan. We have a story of God's faithfulness in the past. They believed that and they held on to that story. And that's what we have to do today. Because we have a story. And that story is of God sending his son Jesus to redeem us and to make us new, forgiving us of our sins and giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit. But more than that, church, Southside Church of Christ has a story. We have a story of how God has called us to this neighborhood to be a light to the city. A story that includes things like hope ministry and jail ministry and college ministry and youth ministry. A story that includes all sorts of adventures and ministries and outreach events. A story that includes baptisms and lives changed. We still have that story, don't we? A story of God being faithful in our past, and we hold on to that story. But number two, those returning exiles, they also had a future. They had a future. That day when they realized, we're back, but we're not really back, they still believed that they had a future. I really like the way Tim Keller put it in his book, The Prodigal God. He said, all the many exoduses and many homecomings in the Bible failed in the end to deliver the final and full homecoming the prophets promised and everyone longed for. They realized that day, no, we're not really back, but someday we will be back. Someday there will be a full gathering of God's people. Someday the Messiah is going to come. Someday God is going to send a deliverer who is going to save his people and is going to restore the world. They had a future, and that future, they put their hope in it, and they trusted in it. And church, we have a future too. We have a future too. And that future includes renovated classrooms for our children, an elevator to ride in, new bathrooms and a renovated kitchen, a future where we're going to restart Bible classes, a future where eventually this auditorium is going to be full again. But more than that, church, we have a future that someday Christ is going to return. And all sin and all evil and all viruses are going to be judged. And we're going to be able to sit down at the banquet table of the Lamb, and we're going to be able to worship, not 6 feet apart, we're going to worship face to face and honor the Lord. In that future, we can put our hope in that, and we can trust in that. So we have a story. We have a future. But what about the in-between? Because it's pretty easy to praise God for the past, and it's fairly easy to praise God for the future. But how do you praise God for today? For the intermediate. Well, that day, when the exiles were celebrating, sort of, their new temple foundation, they said a refrain over and over again in their praise. And that refrain was this: the Lord is good. His love to Israel endures forever. I want you to say that with me. The Lord is good, and his love to Israel endures forever. Say it again. The Lord is good, and his love to Israel endures forever. Now, there's two parts to that phrase that I want you to hold on to. Number one is the word good. In Hebrew, it's the word tov, T-O-V. Say that with me, tov. It's a very important word, because in Nehemiah, it's the last word of the book. Ezra and Nehemiah, two books that tell one story, and the last word of that story is tov. It's also an important word because it's the first word of creation. When God created the world, what did he say over and over again? He looked at what he had made and he declared it to be tov. That in creation and in recreation, God is good. In beginnings and new beginnings, God is good. In building and rebuilding, God is good. The Lord is good. They held on to that truth that day. The Lord is good. Our foundation doesn't look so good, but God is good. Yes, there's not as many people here, but God is good. They held on to that truth. And then there's a second part to this phrase. It's my favorite Hebrew word. Chesed. Say that with me. Chesed. H-E-S-E-D. I was talking with someone a while back, and they used to come to our church, but then they had moved away, and they were telling me that the preacher at our church, he said the word chesed, and I thought of you, Steve. Made me feel so good. The word means steadfast love. Love that always endures. Love that is faithful. Loyalty. Covenant love. And those exiles remembered that God's love, it never fails. And if this temple never gets to Solomon's glory, God's love never fails. And if our neighbors end up attacking us, God's love, it never fails. And if we never grow to the size that we were in Canaan, God's love, it never fails. His chesed is always here. In church this morning, those are the two truths that we hold on to. That God is good. Even though we got to wear masks, God is good. Even though we got to sit 6 feet apart and spread out over this big auditorium, God is good. Even though we got to fellowship outside, God is good. God is good. We hold on to that. We believe that truth. And then secondly, we trust that God's love never fails. And if the virus continues, His love never fails. If the economy goes down, His love never fails. If our country falls apart because of this election, His love never fails. We believe in that, and we trust in that, and we hold to that because we believe that there is no issue, there is no person, there is no situation, there is no difficulty, and there is no virus that can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ, because His love never fails. And if we can hold on to those truths this morning, that God is good, and that His love never fails, in the midst of our fear and in the midst of our rubble, somehow in some way we can find renewal. And there are some of you this morning who need that renewal. There's some of you that came here because your spiritual batteries are really low and you need renewal. You need the Lord to send His Spirit into your heart and to bring you revival. And I'm so thankful to say this. We're going to sing a song, and you can come up to the front, and I'm going to pray with you. And there'll be other elders here to pray with you and encourage you. And if you need that renewal this morning, we're here for you. Or if you're ready to be baptized into Christ, we've got a plan. We've talked through that plan. We've got a pool. We've got a pool that's ready. And we'll rush over sometime today, and we'll baptize you in Christ. And if you're ready to take that step, we would love to watch you commit to the love of Christ and receiving His grace in baptism. If we can help you find renewal this morning, please come now as together we stand and sing.